clearly we're outdoors if I have my blanket out
here. In pretty much the fall, it just started now. So,
yeah.
So today or tonight, I should say, we're just catching up on FPAC.
Yeah,
FPAC. How that turned out to be a very successful event. So you're going to hear a lot of noise outside because we are outside.
Right?
Yeah.
We are not protected from the elements and we may have eyes on us. But
yeah,
whatever.
That's okay. They're like, oh yeah, LA content creators. It's all good.
Yeah.
Nothing new here.
You smell the weed out here too.
It's it's definitely LA. You love to see it. All right. Let's go ahead and this is kind of go ahead and do the thingy.
Yeah, we're going to recap.
Cold. Let's get this done.
We're going to recap FPAC, I guess, and stuff. Ready?
Ha. Well, welcome to another episode of Twin
Appropriate Behavior.
Let's try that again because we're way rusty. Welcome to another episode of
Twin Appropriate Behavior.
I am Simon, the older twin. I'm not. It's too cold for me to be creative right now. And
I'm the younger by 1 minute colder twin because I'm the one with the blanket.
Oh, I'm a little bit fatter, so I have a bit more insulation. Yeah, I feel nice and cozy. But I kind of pushed the issue with this episode here. I know you've been busy. I know you're behind on some of the other things.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to push this one.
No, it's fine because, I mean, for context, before we really get into it, because FPAC was amazing. It was actually, a little under 2 weeks ago? No, actually exactly 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly so 2 weeks ago.
We've had some time to recover, to replenish product. And on top of that, I got a lot of different opportunities to show.
Well, you got a lot of problems after the show and great problems, right? Because now it's like, great, what's next?
Yeah.
Right? What's going on with the, as you said, you have to re-up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, including the sweaters that we're wearing right now. We actually ran out. And since you're literally VIP, you always get first dibs.
Oh, I always do. Always do.
But a lot of people have been asking about it. I literally sold out. I have maybe two mediums and two double XLs and that's it.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's a great product. And you know, that kind of just leads to kind of the first thing I wanted to talk about. Like, what made FPAC so different?
Wow. Okay, so a little bit of background. FPAC has been going on for 30 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's, in my opinion, it's like the Super Bowl of Filipino festivals.
Yeah, you'll find a lot of prominent people there. I mean, 1 year, it was in San Pedro where it usually is.
Yeah, that was the original location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Eileen and Scott, when as a little boy, met Jokoy over there.
Oh, that's so cool.
A lot of like real deal stuff is going on. If you're in the Filipino community, you'll see a lot. That's what made this such a big deal.
Shout out to Joko if you're watching.
Yeah, if you do, if he's watching, that's amazing.
If you want the Santo Nino sweater, hit me up.
I got you. Yeah. but yeah, I think, other than the scale of it, what felt different?
I think it was the community because people were really, really excited that it was coming back to San Pedro because that was the original location. Yeah. And in the meetings, I mean, I'm sure I can share this, but the reason why we did it in that area because it faces the Pacific Ocean, which is kind of facing really the Philippines.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a cool concept that we're trying to connect there, but the space was just much better than the Los Angeles one. And all I heard across the board from everybody, they were just glad it was back in San Pedro.
Well, I mean, selfishly, I'm really glad it's San Pedro because that's my neck of the woods.
Right. It also makes it easier for you guys to help me.
Well, yeah, you know, and kind of we used my place as a home base and that turned out to be really well. It served our schedules properly.
Yeah.
And everyone was wondering, oh, you're going to work on your birthday? It's like, yeah.
That's what I wanted though.
Yeah. Same. Right. And I love how we greeted people. Welcome to our birthday party.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it truly was. And like a lot of great people came, a lot of new people came.
Yeah.
And
a lot.
It gave me the opportunity, you know, usually when I work the booth, I don't get to engage as much.
Yeah.
Because most people just kind of in and out, right?
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
There's so much to do. People just kind of peruse and whatnot. But I feel like this time the product of the characters really, really engaged with the crowd in San Pedro.
Yeah, I think it was a good testing. I don't want to say testing ground, but it was a good way to gauge what's really working because this was the biggest crowd yet.
Yeah.
And also now that we're like a year in, it was easier to kind of, okay, we streamlined the processes more and I knew what product was going to work and what people would react to and how to, and I re-upped on so much stuff and I still sold out of stuff. And let me tell you, that is a good problem to have.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, towards the end of the night, I was running out of stuff. I think one thing I wish I knew better with your inventory, I made a mistake. One guy wanted double XL on something. The lady went away and mom went out to chase her.
Oh, mom, you're the best.
Mom went out to chase her, but she couldn't find her. But just the fact that she took the initiative to go, she usually just hangs out in the booth. Thank God she always brings food.
Oh, yeah. And because the thing is, the reason why she started bringing food now, it's because she doesn't want to wait in those long lines.
No, no.
And really, we don't care if the Jollibee is cold by the time it gets to us because it's still really good.
It's still good and we ate. So, you know, like most of the events, my kids tend to come in and help. And this time it was just Matthew because Scott had his own thing, which is fine.
Yeah, that's fine. And I don't expect anyone besides me to drop everything for my stuff.
No,
I can't ask you to do those.
What impresses me is that how well my 16-year-old son picked it up.
Oh man, can I just tell you, he's a treasure. I love you, Matthew. Because like seriously, he said to me he wanted some like job experience, work experience. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is the place to do it. And I was like, this is the time to ask questions. This is the time to make the mistakes. This is the time to bring out ideas,
ask
test
the questions,
ideas,
everything.
Ask all the questions. And you know, upon first meeting him, you would think he's like really quiet and not. Oh man, he was so engaging.
Oh, he was.
Yeah,
he was.
And he cares about the product.
He does, but he also has one more question. He's not here. He goes, can I get my money?
Oh, I know. I didn't have cash. I'll pay him. Like. He's the only one I pay.
We make sure he gets. Yeah, I don't ask for payment. You know, like
I'll eventually get to that point.
That's not why I do it.
I know, but it's. I still feel. I know it's maybe the inner saboteur, but I always feel like I'm asking a lot, and I don't want to come off as a burden, and because I'm that guy that all of a sudden people are dropping their shit for to help my dream out.
But we planned it out and everyone's like, oh, it's your birthday. It's like, yeah, this is how I want to celebrate it.
Exactly. That's true because everyone's like, so what do you want to do for your birthday? Even James was like, baby, what do you want to do for your birthday? I said, nothing. I'm just happy that you're all there.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you're there supporting me. I'm happy that, you know, that we're all here together. That's all that matters. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing in this life right now I want.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was a great event. Really busy.
We were busy the whole time. And
the whole time.
And to kind of add insult to injury a little bit for you guys, I actually was also performing with Taiwan.
And of course, when you're gone, it was hella busy. It was like stupid busy.
So is it because I'm the boss and I leave and everyone's like, oh, cool, let's all jam into this thing and test their skills while the
boss
is gone.
It was wild. There was so many people that were coming in. But you know, it gave me the opportunity to, like I was saying before, I got to engage with them, right?
And
I think what makes By and By so different, I think also this why our podcast is so different is because of the fact that, you know, there's stories to be told, right?
You nailed it. Like, continue. Yeah. I have a thought, but continue.
So, I mean, there were some great stories where I told, like, okay, what do the cards mean? I get that a lot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I explained what the cards were in terms of their Prince and Princess of Sinkil suite and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of history behind it. I talked a lot about the Terrible Twos.
People were asking about it.
Yes,
okay.
And people, because a lot of the younger ones don't know, right? Because they have Uno, they have all this other crap. And then like Pasoy Dos was our Uno.
Right. And that was the joke I made too, advertising it.
Yeah.
Ruining friendships and relationships well before Uno.
And there was a lot of great feedback. Now, one thing that we didn't expect was the Terrible Twos. They're just like, hey, can you make that a kids line?
I know. Everyone's like, hey.
So many people.
I have a kid who's going to be a Terrible Two. Or I was like, oh. So actually, yeah, I'm gonna be showing in Artesia.
I think that'll be cool.
So I'm going to do a small run because...
Testing it.
Yeah. Listen, I love to do the kids stuff. And I did have requests. And then when I came out with the product... No one was to be found.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, I mean, that's one thing I noticed in this event, that the kids actually responded well to the characters this time, right? Because they spent more time coming in, and a lot of them were in the know, like, oh, that's a Filipino son. Oh, I've seen that statue in the house before.
No way.
Yeah, no,
oh,
no,
I love
that's
that.
That's the thing, right?
I love that.
And being that there was such a bigger audience, that means you have a wider net to cast because you see people come in and they see the Dodger logo, for example, right? The alleged Dodger logo, for example.
The Dodger-inspired logo.
The Dodger-inspired logo. And that hit really well, right? But I think what really hit me, I had this one gentleman come in and he told me this, his stories about Santo Niño, and he was a white guy.
Oh yeah, and then I remember you pulled me aside.
Yeah, and his experiences with it, and he was like, I understand why Filipino culture, like, is just enamored with the Santo Niño. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want to get into details of the story, but the point was is that he was telling his stories, what related to him. And he wasn't, you know, pure Filipino, right? He was he was exposed to the culture.
Right.
Right. And that was such a cool thing to hear. Mm. Right. And then another one, this woman walks in and she talks about her grandma.
Oh.
She saw the candles and she's like, oh my God, these candles are beautiful. But the Santo Niño with the sunglasses off might just piss her off.
I'm going to buy it.
That's exactly what she did. Yeah, right. And so, and I think that that was an opportunity that was, I was glad I was able to tell her when I said, hey, if you do that, post it, tag us. We like those stories.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
the whole point to all this.
Right, right. I mean, like I said, you nailed it. By and By is really all about storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, and it just happens to be the artwork I do is the medium. And, you know, the way I place it in its setting or, you know, kind of, I'm not going to flip it completely, but some I want to twist it a little bit where it's kind of like, huh. So I have a thing, I call it my twist. It's called The Way I See Things. Twist.
Oh.
And so if you ever, if you ever see, like, because with my old photography I did, I would say blah, 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 my twist or whatever, the twist, a twist on this. And it literally stands for me, it stands for The Way I See Things.
I that's brilliant.
thanks.
That just blew my mind.
Because like, because the thing is, it's all about stories. Everything has a story, has a reason, has a purpose. So it's not, I don't make things just so it's aesthetic. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's anyone can do that.
Yeah, and a lot of people get away with that. And that's fine.
There's a market for that.
Yeah.
And it's fine. But for me, my angle is storytelling. My angle is not just my story or our story or our family's story. What's yours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny. It could, we see like, for example, like, I guess the Santo Niño, like, we see it. We know it. Maybe we understand it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool to like hear people say, oh, I saw this in my Lola's house, or oh, my mom has this, or oh, yeah, we pass this around like as a prayer group and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember getting in trouble for blah, 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 like touching it and breaking it. You know, it's stuff like that. It's kind of cool to see.
We're in the same fabric.
Right.
Right. We're still in the same fabric. And it's just an amazing thing to see because everyone has a different take on that. It's more like a quilt, right? Because there's different panels to it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And like one thing that came to mind, one of the funny reactions that I get with Tabo was,
right.
Right. And that ranged different ages. Now, one time there was a family, probably about my age and kids younger than mine.
Yeah.
They walk in and the mom goes, right, and the kids are like, what's so funny? He's like, you don't know what this is? It's like, no, well, let me explain. And I would joke, it's like, it's a skill that you hope to never have to use nowadays, but it's a useful skill to have.
Right.
And, you know, and it's, again, it's still stories, right? And one person said, hey, thank you for telling me about all this.
There was
a Native American gentleman that came in and asked all these questions. And I just, and I think he was surprised.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Because when people come in and they're like, okay, that's cool. What is that? I just look like some regular Jack, right? So, but when you go in and engage, I kind of like what you said earlier, what you said after the event, you were talking about, hey, you know, people appreciated that we sold the product, but we weren't selling the product. We were telling the story.
Right, right.
Right? It was just maybe interpreted that way, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But again, that's what this whole thing is about. And that's why I enjoy doing this, right? And trust me, I'm not looking for money, not yet. But
I know, but also you guys deserve so much.
Dude, I get first run at everything.
I mean, literally, before I even release it, I tell you, look what I did. Can you make an extra
just,
one?
And no, even just when we talked about the design.
Oh, yeah.
Right, the day you showed me, right? You just didn't say anything. Look what I made. and we're in tears.
Like cracking up. Laughing. That was so funny.
And it's that's why I enjoy being a part of this. Mm. Right? And it's just the stories that we get to tell. And, you know, I know a lot of the episodes lately have been kind of promoting a lot of events. So don't worry. We're actually going to have other episodes coming out just about random stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And also we're kind of planning to do things separately, but in shorter formats.
Yeah. You
know, kind of like, hey, yeah. This is my thoughts on something. Idea. Or just so I feel like it would be really cool to kind of get a context of each of us individually in different ways. Maybe we can do like a subject and we talk about it solo.
Or even if we don't connect on the same thing, you know, because again, coming from where I come from, you know, the way I raised my family, the way maybe I talk about something like fantasy football.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, what does that mean to me individually? Because I think what I'm trying to avoid, I think you're trying to avoid as well, is that we, like in high school, we were a unit. We weren't individuals.
Right, right, right.
So
that's kind of where it came from too. Because like I want people to watch. Yes, I want people to watch and see us together.
Yeah.
But I also want them to get to know us as individuals.
Mm-hmm. Because I know there's viewers out there that have a favorite only because they know you more.
I'm the favorite.
To some. And I'm the favorite to others.
Most people.
But you get what I'm saying though, right? Because we run different circles.
Yeah, we're like a mini boy band. There's going to be different fandoms in each one.
But they work together, right? They're not going to fight each other. I mean, that would be crazy. It's like, let's go fight these groups of people.
Right?
But it's I'm not trying to incite anything.
I honestly wasn't even slated to do it this year. I wasn't even thinking about it because I didn't think I would be ready when I started.
From what I recall, it was kind of a shot in the dark. If it happens, it happens.
Yeah, it did eventually become that because at first I was like, there is no way this is going to take off. Like, honestly, it's my first year. So I was like, is this going to take off? Am I really going to be able to stand up to a major event like FPAC?
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing also I've learned is it is a very close knit community.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that I get noticed. Remember our neighbors, it's Para Sayo.
Mm-hmm.
Cute stuff. Remember the cute pins?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the rice cooker guy. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she said to me, she's like, huh, you're new. And I was like, wow, am I really transparent? And it's cool that, you know, I just feel very embraced by so many people.
Yeah, because there's big names out there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's big, they're, you know, like Abacada, they're freaking Illa Manila. Mm-hmm. Those are big names. I mean, we're in direct competition with them.
Yeah.
But not to take them out, you know what I mean?
It's we want to play the game too in our own way, and we just want to be part of.
We provide more to the spectrum of products and likes and understanding of the culture.
Well, my whole thing too is there's room for everyone to win.
Yeah,
there's room for you to cheer on another brand. There's room for you to cheer on other people who are, you know, making an honest buck. But I have to remind myself sometimes they do this because it means something to them.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's cute little segue to, you know, when I went, you know, I had to go back and forth to get some supplies out of my car, your car.
Oh,
whatever,
yeah.
And I run into the lovely folks of Kumusta Pusa.
Shout out to Kumusta Pusa. Yeah. You guys are so awesome.
We randomly met because we both almost got killed by a Tesla.
Wait, okay.
Maybe because, I don't know, maybe Elon knows my hate for him and his Tesla brand, but whatever. So, you know, that's another story. So we're crossing the street going back to the venue and we're both kind of going, is this person going? And this Tesla driver, I'll just say that, was in the middle.
Like
imagine
that.
The yellow line just splitting down the middle of the car.
That's where that person was. That's my favorite.
And they were like, I mean, it can't kill us. It has auto stops. And we went, blah, 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 blah. Right? And, you know, they're just chatting. And he saw the shirt. You know, we wear our own little uniform shirts and stuff. Which is cool.
Yeah.
But I think that was the first time it was actually useful, to be quite honest.
Well,
second time.
But we also don't know sometimes.
That's true.
Because
I've noticed.
Mom has said to me, I think people were following me and trying to scan my back.
Yeah. I had that happen just standing in line for food once. the first event, I was standing in line to get into the event as a vendor. And then they took a picture and she just, I saw her, I'm just kind of like, I had my sunglasses on. So I see that she was scrolling through her merch. And then this time when I met Kumusta Pusa, they're like, oh, are you one of the vendors? Like, oh yeah, you know, I'm here to help out my brother with the buy and buy brand. And told him what it was about and stuff. And he was like, hey, that's really cool. And, you know, I'd like to kind of check out your stuff. And, you know, you kind of think, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes people say that to be polite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, and I gave, you know, I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt, right?
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And as he said that, he was like, here's the sticker. It's like, cool.
Oh, I love that. Sweet. That's
yeah, really that's
nice.
How, and so, you know, the day goes by and I was going to ask, like, after your performance, oh, did you meet with the folks and whatnot? Uh-huh. And but they end up coming towards the end of the night and, you know, they had a great conversation with you. I mean, yeah. I think you should give some details as to kind of why, because what that discussion was about, because I think there are people that are watching this.
Yeah.
That are probably in the same position. So mm-hmm. like, you know, kind of a, give me a synopsis of like what they were talking about. I think it's a really important thing, especially those who are trying to start something.
Well, something up. They actually heard that it was FPAC and they liked that it was a free event. And so really it was just about recon for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were trying to figure out how are other vendors doing this, or how do we merchandise? How, you know, all the little things that most people don't think about, because we're just thinking about our artwork or our merchandise, not so much displays, not so much logistical stuff most of the time. And so they asked me a bunch of questions like, how did you get this? And so I told them the first thing I said verbatim, I don't gatekeep this shit. So tell me what yeah. you need to know, what you want to know.
I think that's very important, right? Because yeah. there's a lot of people there who want to run a business and not have competition per se, right?
Mm.
But, or they're afraid that they're going to get copied or get eaten alive by it, right? I mean, sure, those are things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that people will be critical of. But I think kind of what you said to them was basically, go for it.
Yeah. And I said the same thing to him that I said earlier. There's room for everyone to win.
Yeah.
And what's great, and I'm bring this brand up again, Kiliko, love you girl, Sarah, you're so dope, thank you again.
We were
you're just so
a
cool.
couple stalls away from
yeah
this
I was
time.
Like
yeah.
dang it, we couldn't, we said we should have been neighbors, it would have been way fun. And
that
I been
know, wild,
because man, I love the energy of their booth, their team is so great. Sarah, you're a badass. And so but speaking of not gatekeeping, I had a conversation with her and I asked her about her embroidery stuff, because man, I love the stuff that they're making. You know, it's super cute, but it's so thoughtful. It's not it doesn't beat you over the head.
No.
With it.
No.
It makes you smile. It makes you feel things, just like Kilig, right? It makes you feel something. So knowing the context and seeing the product, it's special. It's super special. And I encourage all brands to be like that, you know, because that's her story. It's like, what makes you Kilig? You know, what makes you
get
way?
That feeling? Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's so many different interpretations of how she tries to trigger your Kilig. Or actually, no, the word is, glimmer, right?
Oh.
It's, instead of, is that the word? It's a glimmer instead of a trigger. I can't.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying.
It's like the opposite of a trigger.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. It's something that triggers a positive response.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
And that's the same thing with Illa Manila. Like the plushie sign, give me a break.
Oh my God. I love that thing.
We literally ran across and bought it. Like we had to.
because it was impactful to us.
Right. Right.
Right. People look at me like, why the hell would you buy that? That's kid stuff. Like, well, no, it made an impact to me.
Yeah. I'm a big kid inside. So
exactly.
Yeah, I want.
Let me be that big kid.
It makes
right?
me happy. It makes me glig, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And so, you know, changing gears a bit, you know, there was a post that you had recently about your 1 year anniversary, right?
Yeah.
So if anything, in that 1 year, what's the one big thing that kind of that you learned in this first year just starting up with the business? Because I don't own a business. I'm not, you know, I'm just like a regular employee schmuck.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who's grinding from the bottom going up, you know, if there's anything that you feel like that you've learned that's super impactful that you feel like you're going to take from the rest of your life, what would that, what did you learn in that first year?
Ooh, that's a really good question. But the biggest thing for me was to let go.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let go. It was hard for me to get rid of the guilt of asking people. I had to figure out a way to not see myself as a burden, because this is what I decided to do. And you, among people, have said, we wouldn't have done this if we didn't believe in you and what you're doing.
Right.
you know? And
I mean, there's parts of me that I'd say, hey, you know, I know you're all in for this, but I have a backup plan, right? And like, I think that's just kind of me being a dad. It's like,
it's you being practical. Really.
It is.
That's a normal response.
Because my fear for you was that, you know, in my mind, you had no safety net. And that's like, that makes me kind of anxious. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what'll happen? Not that you're going to be homeless or bum, whatever. It's like, sure, you'll be back, but it's like,
but I have no insurance.
Exactly. Right. It's just stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, of course, as someone who's just been in that corporate life, you know, I've been very lucky, very fortunate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just to kind of see you kind of risk it for the biscuit,
mm-hmm.
it's impressive. It's crazy to see. And that's a great lesson to learn, right? Let go. I think that serves everybody,
mm-hmm.
right? To let go of the past, mm-hmm. let go of the anxiety of the future, let go of what could be and just allow what is.
Exactly. Let go of the expectation, let go of your insecurity, which is, in my opinion, the hard one. Because
that is hard.
Because it, I mean, I put a piece of me is literally on, you know, in the artwork. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes difficult to not take it personally if somebody doesn't connect to the artwork. But when I go back to my marketing business mind is, you're not going to be for everybody. Mm-hmm. You're not. So the biggest thing, the second biggest thing for me was to authenticity. You know, I created my art because it's a part of me. It's a part of a true story. It's mm-hmm. it's a true feeling, and it's a true, what's the word? It's like a true means for me to reach out.
I think that's a great way to put it, right? And it's not just for people in your situation who's running their own business and trying to create something for the ground up, but for people like myself, right? Mm-hmm. In the work that I do, I'm a presenter for a living,
mm-hmm.
right? I deal with people for a living, and you know, I'm actually transitioning into a different position coming next week, I think.
Ooh, congratulations.
Yes, it's great because the pay is better, but
ooh, congratulations.
That's always nice. But I'm still presenting, right? And I like what you said. You put a piece of yourself out there every time, because before what I was doing a lot of the technical side to kind of talk about the products that I'm working with and say, hey, this is how great this really is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my background is sales and a bit of, sales training and kind of R&D, but like kind of internal education, right?
Okay.
Yeah. When I was with Google, it was, you know, I was showing folks how to use our system and whatnot.
Right, right.
So, you know, I can apply that to my new position, which is post-sale stuff. Hey, I'm training you how to use this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to sell how great this product is. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to go ahead and show you how to do it, but I put myself there.
Right.
Right. And I think one way that you and I do, and we I think it's a very big deal for us, is humor.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why things like this happen.
Right.
Right. It's hilarious. But I think, to me, you know, humor is the best form of understanding, of mastering something.
Okay.
If you can make fun of it, like tastefully.
Yeah. Without offending.
And convey that to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's it's funny to them. Mm-hmm. That means you connected with them. Because
absolutely.
It's easy to connect somebody with something that they think is funny, but they learn and they understand that.
Right.
Right. So like an example would be like we have a scheduling tool where I say, hey, you can see who's overworked and who's spinning around an office chair all week. I use that joke all the time. And
you see, I've never heard you say that in a presentation. So even I just got that.
Yeah, right. And that's kind of the joke. And people get that.
Yeah.
Right? Because so many times, you know, as someone in the corporate side of things, it's very mundane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's okay. It's predictable.
Yeah.
But it's understandable because it's universal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But when you put yourself into that mix, like what you just did with, I mean, this is a perfect example. Right. It's something that we grew up with. It was in our room and we never really thought much of it. But with the way we kind of like the silly things in life, where we chuckle at like the little stuffed toys or a little stupid dog walking around. Right. Those little silly things that makes our inner child kind of giggle.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to do that because there's a lot of people out there who suppress that.
As I developed the brand, I told myself, let your inner child lead.
Yeah.
Let little Mark be the creative director.
Yeah.
Let him do that because I wanted to take back some of that power, you know, because growing up, we were always told, oh, Mark, you're so sensitive. You're so this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I was made fun of when the other boys would go play basketball, which I would do once in a while. But sometimes I just wanted to sit with you know, and sit with the people making crafts.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to like draw. Get my hands dirty and draw, get crayons, build stuff, you know, and, you know,
at the same time, we'd break crayons and throw them around. Right. Just be a kid.
And then we would draw silly little things. And we were often told, you need to grow up. Mm-hmm. Like,
there's a limit to that, right?
It's right, like, right, right. I can agree with that. But it's also one of those things where it's like everything we are as adults is a direct result of our childhood.
Correct.
You know, and
good
so,
and bad. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so when I want to, like, again, I want to take the power back. And mm-hmm. yeah, okay, I'm too sensitive. Fine. But let me show you. That yeah. it's a special trait, you yeah. know, to be able to feel empathy for someone. Or mm-hmm. I just remember as a kid, I just felt those feelings so strongly and I couldn't suppress it. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't just bottle it up because when I did, it hurt in other ways. And mm-hmm. so it's just...
Or it was expressed incorrectly in other ways.
Right, right. Or they, you know, other generations may not know how to understand it or what to do with it. But luckily, you know, we were given the room to do so eventually. And I feel like that was kind of my avenue to take that part that felt good to mm-hmm. create the art, to mm-hmm. create yeah. characters, to create a scene, to create a brand.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, it reminds me of the conversations I was having with the people at FPAC. Like, kind of bring it back full circle here.
Mm.
Right? Because that one girl who said, my grandma might hate this Santo Niño, I'm going to buy it anyway. Right? But now it's like, in a way, you gave someone an outlet to explain that, hey, I don't agree with what my family thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to feel guilty about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw the Santo Niño, it mm-hmm. made me feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not just a random character. God bless your son, right? But, you know, your little son guy, right?
Yeah.
That, but, you know, that may not always evoke the same emotion right, or same right. thought as something like the Santo Niño or the Tabo.
Right.
Right? And at the end of the day, I think what I realized in this year is that we're not the only ones telling stories here.
Yeah,
we get to hear stories,
right? Right,
and when that reciprocates like that, I think that's what allows me to say, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna go off. And it's like, you need me for that weekend? Let's do it.
I think it's just a cool thing to exchange stories and connect that way, even though it's the same object, different interpretation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Different moments in time, but the feeling seems to be universal mm-hmm. in one of two ways, right? It could be. Oh man, I'm scared of this because I don't want to get my mom mad. Or, man, this is brilliant. How did you think of this? It's so cute. It makes me happy. And yeah. I was like, every reaction is an acceptable one because I really want to hear.
Absolutely. It's yeah. completely validated. It's completely acceptable. And I'm very curious as to, you know, why do you feel this way?
Right.
You know, where did that come from? Because we may have grown up very similarly, like with our peers that we meet.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be very different. Some were more conservative than others. Some of them were, you know, oh, my parents left the Philippines because they didn't want to be raising kids the way they were raised.
Right, right.
Right. Not the most common thing, but it happens. Right. And then that's what's important here. I think that's what makes By and By such a powerful thing. I think that's what makes this kind of podcasting a powerful thing because, you know, how many people are out there that are identical twin brothers living in the 90s, you know, first generation Filipinos who had a very conservative upbringing.
Right.
Right. But to not only kind of deviate, not really deviate, but kind of expand ourselves beyond what we kind of learned, but to see our parents do the same thing.
That's beautiful in right? my opinion, because
it's not a common thing either.
I was going to say, yeah, it's not common like to that. See our parents.
And I'm super grateful for that.
Yeah. To say they rolled with the punches is the biggest understatement of my life.
Yeah.
Because they were like, all right, these are our kids.
Yeah.
This is the hand we were dealt.
Yeah.
And they and all parents have a choice.
Yeah.
They do. And for them to choose us back.
Yeah.
Is like the ultimate.
And I think the what I'm saying all that to say this is that if you're watching us or listening to us right now and you have something you want to tell your parents. While they're still alive, okay? Tell them.
Yeah.
Tell them. And you will most likely be surprised about the reaction.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling to me that, like, you know, give your parents a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I'm, believe me, you know, the wifey and I always have those conversations like, you know, so-and-so is so stubborn or I'm so stubborn and they won't listen to me. I won't listen to them, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's always that weird conflict. But at the end of the day, you know, they're growing too, right? Because if there's one thing that you probably also kind of figured out in this first year, you don't always know what you're doing.
Oh, most of the time I don't. I'm pretty sure everyone who's in the same position I am, it's not necessarily touch and go, but it's pass or fail. It could be, you know, it could be big and bigger, you know, or how do I make this? How do I streamline my process? What is it about this product that's not working? What is it about this image that is working? Yeah. So it's really kind of, I'm going to admit it. It's a guessing game.
Yeah.
But there's so many resources out there, but you draw
from your experience.
Absolutely. Back to the authenticity. Mm-hmm. Do what you know. Don't do things because it's profitable. Correct. Do what you know, because that's what's going to make you stand out. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to make your product special.
Yeah. And that's actually something I learned in my short stint of streaming, which I would like to go back in. But
you should.
I know, but there's like this and there's other things and... That reminds me, right? It's like, why haven't I been streaming and all that stuff? There's a lot of been stuff going with the family, especially with my son.
Yeah.
Right. So
are we talking about it?
Yeah, because he brought it out. He took it. He's an adult and he brought it out. So, you know, I'm just going to say that, you know, there was a struggle, like health wise.
Yeah. It was a scare.
It was a scare.
For sure.
It was a scare and something we're still pushing through. But I think I want to take the opportunity for me to say thank you to everybody.
Yeah.
Right. For those who know what happened to the detail.
Yeah, because we did keep it quiet per his request. And we also didn't want all that attention for him. He didn't want the attention either. Mm-hmm. Especially he didn't want the attention.
Yeah. And he didn't post all that stuff. He actually posted it after. Yeah. And to the next point, it was after when our dog passed, Honey.
Oh, yeah.
God bless that dog. Mm. We did not take it easy. It was very tough.
Understandably so. Mm-hmm. I mean, that dog, Honey, was so special.
Yeah. She was the husky that was not a husky.
And she was like the anti-husky.
Yeah, exactly. She was the anti-husky. And like, and it was dogs like her that made mom change her mind about dogs in general.
Oh, yeah.
Which is powerful.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Because, you know, parents tend to be set in their ways, or
and you know it was hard for Eileen because Eileen was Honey's person.
I know,
like, Honey's person, like 100%, and like the two were two peas in a pod. And I'm also grateful because Honey actually helped condition Sarah.
That's right, yeah.
And it's tough now. I mean, the two dogs are okay. They know what happened. They can smell that she had passed.
They figured it out.
And I won't go into detail with all that. You already know what happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just those things that made it difficult for just to move my pursuits forward.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's people that are wondering, like, yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
It's tough, but, you know, again, outside of the podcast, if you guys want to talk to me about it, you know, we can.
Yeah. Same.
But don't be mad if I say no.
Right. This is really something we want to just keep to.
Yeah, I'll leave it to Scott to kind of talk. If you are close with them, you know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, because for me, I had to stop operations immediately.
Yeah.
Like, I stopped for what, 2-3 weeks. I couldn't get anything done.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to get out of bed. I didn't want to, you know, it's scary.
Yeah. But we are, you know, we're in a good place now.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. So... Enough on looking back. So what's next? I know you said you had another event coming up.
So Saturday, October 5th, I'll be at the PhilAm Fiesta in Artesia. And that will be running from 10 a.m. Oh, no, that's set up. 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. So first one's Saturday, October 5th. And it's the PhilAm Fiesta in Artesia. It's going to be noon to 5.
Oh, short one.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like, it's a day thing. It's with the Kabataan. Mm-hmm. And so it's they're a cool group. Like we met in Long Beach. And so we've been in touch since. And we've set up a few things together. So
shout out,
you guys. Thanks. And then the 6th is going to be one of my personal favorites. We're going to be pop. Remember how a couple months ago I collabed with Manila Sound?
Yeah, that was a great shirts. Product.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks. So they asked me to pop up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we also collaborated on a new cool product. It's going to be at Benny Boy Brewery, October 6th on Sunday. And it starts at 3 to 9, 8 or 9-ish.
We'll try to swing by.
It's a fun one because their motto is it's a disco for the neighborhood and your titas. They tend to play OPM, both super old school stuff, original Filipino music, for those who don't know. And they remix it into current or current-ish OPM, and also sometimes current tracks here in America. So the way they execute it is really cool, because then you see everybody dance. You see titos, you see uncles.
That's
you see,
pretty cool.
You know, and it's, since it's a brewery, we bring like our uncles' beers and we're all just hanging out, and they have vendors and food. They've been starting to roll out more, so you guys should check it out. It's one of my favorite events. And oddly enough, the way we got connected is because a lot of them are my old confirmation students.
No way.
Yeah, so it was kind of wild when I connected with some of the heads of that, and they found out I was collabing, and they all wanted to be on the call. So that was actually really cool. So I'm looking forward to Manila Sound. See you guys there. Benny Boy Brewing, cool. October 6th. Wow. And I have another one. Friday, October 18th. Another Phil-Am Fiesta at the Anaheim Packing District.
That place is dope.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. Ooh. So check. I don't have the details on all of this just yet, but I did sign up. And so October 18th, Friday, Anaheim Packing District. It's going to be fun because that's a really cool venue.
Busy month.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
One more.
Oh, you do?
I do. And then I got asked by Cal State LA on Thursday.
Yes, I remember the girls. Yeah, they were very excited to bring us on.
Yeah, and it's a small one for us, but it's going to be fun. So it's going to be Thursday, October 24th, and it starts at, I want to say 11, and it ends around 2. So it's on campus. So find us there and, you know, just come and hang out. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. That's a lot. All I've been doing is, I mean, it's kind of a big deal too for me. I'm actually doing a half marathon in Riverside.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah. So it's been a while. The last full marathon I've done was back in 2012. I did a half with Eileen late last year. So I'm going to be doing another one because she's like, you actually are happy doing it. I'm like, I really look happy. She's like, yeah. And I realized, actually, I do like it, right? Good. It's like, I'm not running it like I used to, but going the distances and just the going to actually go out and do it. And I'm training for it, but then, you know, with the things happening, it was kind of, you know, derailed a little bit. But
just remember, though, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's you all running the same distance.
Yeah.
Right? So you do your own personal best.
Yeah. And that's fine. As long as I don't get hit by the sweeper, I'm good. But
you'd have to be crawling to be hit by a sweeper.
No. I know. I'd have to be dying. But we'll call it a show tonight, man. Yeah. It was kind of a, you know what, we need to get this show out here, especially to follow up on what had happened with that pack. And we have more stuff coming by. And my son just texted me, so we gotta go.
That's the cue. Yeah. But just a quick thank you for everyone who was there at FPAC. Thank you for all the feedback, especially, you know, all your stories, all your excitement, 100%. and to believe in what we're doing. So I really, really appreciate everyone out there, especially my friends and family who are there all day, you know, especially for James, who was there all day, and everybody who was there. Not a single person who came to, like, not a single person who stayed did not clean. Yeah, everyone
did everything.
We were the first booth done.
It was pretty awesome. I appreciate that. I think it's because we had a few under our belt and we kind of know how we roll and how we try to do things. So with that said, thank you guys for watching and or listening and another episode of Twin Appropriate Behavior. So again, I'm Simon Kakelian. That's Mark Kakelian.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's me. Our socials are probably somewhere in the screen.
We'll put it up again. Yeah. But again, thanks for listening. Keep an ears and eyes out, and we'll see you in October. Come and visit us at the Buy and Buy booth.
Yep. And if you haven't done so already on Spotify,
Apple Music, Samsung Music,
all kinds of different platforms,
iHeart,
please follow. It does make a big deal.
Yeah,
it does hit our algorithms.
Rate,
it does
follow, everything. Comment, share, all
YouTube
of it.
YouTube especially, right?
Oh yeah,
make sure that if you do, you know, like, subscribe. That really makes a big deal. Liking and subscribing is completely free, guys. So that does us a lot of wonders.
Yeah, but it also helps us build for you guys. So, you know, tell your friends, click the buttons, do the things.
Only the cool people, though. You know, the cool people.
You're only cool if you click on it, so click on it.
Yeah, all right, cool. In that case, with that said, I just say, peace.
Signing out. from downtown LA in the undisclosed location. Good night, everybody.
Of downtown LA.
Okay, bye.